You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
I'm with Katrina Burness, RNIB Scotland's Parliamentary and Policy Manager. Katrina, it's not been long since the Scottish Government published its budget. We also have an election coming up this year as well, so quite an important time. And looking at health, and specifically eye health, there was an announcement of £1 billion for sort of capital investments. I know there's been a lot of concern about the very famous Princess Alexandra Eye Pavilion in Edinburgh being closed down and reopening. Do we have any news within that budget about upgrades or replacement for that pavilion?
Well, what the budget allocation does is keep the Princess Alexandra Eye Pavilion replacement on the table. You know, that if that allocation hadn't been made, then the project would have been at risk. But since the allocation has been made, it means the next, the ongoing stage in the process, I mean, we've been going looking for a replacement for the Princess Alexandra Eye Pavilion for a long time, since 2014, when it was found not to be fit for purpose. The Scottish Government made a commitment in 2018 that there would be a replacement eye pavilion. Then in 2020, that commitment was rescinded. And in March 2021, there was a U-turn on whether or not the hospital was back on the table, as it were. But since then, there have been many delays affecting the project. And there were concerns in the run-up to this Scottish budget that given the seriousness of the financial situation, that some capital spending could be at risk. So it is actually very welcome news that this allocation has been made of monies towards capital projects. And what it does allow for is the Princess Alexandra project to continue to the next stage, which is basically enabling NHS Lothian to proceed with a business plan. And it does seem a bit as if we're going round in circles with the project, but this keeps it on the table. And groups like Keep, Edinburgh Eye Pavilion, the Keep group will no doubt ensure that this is thoroughly kept on the table over the coming months.
So hopefully good news on the capital projects, that especially the Eye Pavilion, hugely important for sort of north and east of Scotland as well, as a hub, if you like, for eye care. What about sort of research or community care? Was there any announcements there that were welcomed?
I think the key announcements were around community eye care. And there was some encouraging news there because, you know, further monies towards the rollout of community services in glaucoma, and also the welcome news of a renewed commitment to having a low vision service for Scotland. So these are two welcome announcements. And another very welcome announcement is the continued protection of free eye health examinations in Scotland, which have been in place here since 2007. And so next year would be coming up to their 20th anniversary of being in place in Scotland, the only country within the UK to offer free eye health examinations.
Great news that they'll continue as well. And in terms of community eye care, then what will that support then? How will that work?
I think that's a really good question. With something like the community glaucoma service, patients with glaucoma will be referred to a community glaucoma service via hospitals, so that a consultant would decide that a patient had a stable enough condition to be referred to the community glaucoma service. So that's a clear route for referral to the community glaucoma service. However, when it comes to the low vision service, it's less clear how that would look. That there's several likely providers of low vision aids, and that can be the local sight loss charities around Scotland. It can be prescribing optometrists. And so it's not yet certain what the route will be. Perhaps, say, if somebody thinks that their eyesight isn't as good as it was and they want to get help with finding magnifiers, they may pay a visit to their optometrist, and the optometrist may refer them to a low vision service for assistance if they think that that's necessary for them. But in a sense, I'm making this up as I speak, because I know that that's an issue for discussion. It's quite a complex area as to how people will be referred to a low vision service.
But good news that there looks to be funding in place that will support
it. It is good news, because low vision aids help people preserve the site that they have and enables them to remain independent and do things they want to do.
Was there anything in the announcement that RNIB Scotland hoped to see that wasn't there, or perhaps something you felt could have been supported more?
I think we felt quite happy with the level of announcements and clutching our manifesto for the 2026 election. And the asks that we put in there were perhaps for after the election, but ahead of the election, we've got the renewed commitment on having free eye health examinations in Scotland. That was a top priority for us. We have got the reopening of the commitment to a low vision service. We've got more resources going into community eye care, and that will assist in reducing waiting lists for eye health treatment, because ophthalmology is the largest outpatient sector within the health service in Scotland. So anything that contributes to reducing waiting times and ensures that people get the treatment they need as soon as they can is to be welcomed.
You mentioned you've got the RNIB Scotland manifesto, which will be going around to parties, no doubt, as well. There is an election coming up for the Scottish Parliament this year.
We have other asks in our manifesto. We're not short of asks. But what we've been doing up to now is taking the manifesto to the party conferences from the autumn. We prepared our manifesto very early. We wanted to be clear about what it was that we were asking for and to give it to people early, and to repeat it again. We'll be going the rounds of the spring conferences ahead of the election. We have where the political parties have put out an open request for information from organisations like ourselves. We have contributed to that to let particular parties know what we are looking for in areas that they've asked us about. Ahead of the election, we will be sending electronic copies of the manifesto to parliamentary candidates as they get into place. At the moment, there are many constituency candidates in place, but we're awaiting news of list candidates for the political parties. And so it will probably be the end of February before we have more and more parliamentary candidates in place, and we will be seeking to get our manifesto out to parliamentary candidates.
Well, Katrina, we'll be no doubt catching up with you nearer the election time as well. Very busy time for you, but for the moment, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks ever so much, Sheldon.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.